Amen, amen, amen. In fact, you ought to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that you can't keep down. I mean, we must be led of God in testifying. But you know, Jesus says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And Peter says, we can't help it. And the high priest said, I'll take a baseball bat and I'll split your head open. He says, we can't help it. You can do whatever you like. And even after they beat them, and they forbade them to testify, and they locked them in jail, even the jail couldn't keep them. What's keeping you? Glory to God. There was a time when I didn't have a testimony. But there was a reason for it, and I'll tell you what the reason for it was. I didn't know how to drink. Nobody had shown me the fountain. I belonged to church, but it was like the restaurant I was telling about this morning. When one afternoon I was very hungry, I went into an Italian restaurant. They have beautiful menu, you know. Little antipasto and big antipasto. And they have veal scallopini with mushroom sauce, and they have spaghetti with Italian sausage. And so my mouth was watering as I looked at that menu. But the waiter didn't come around for a long time. Finally came, and he looked at me so cross. He says, what do you want, beans? I said, no, I have beans at home. I wanted a meal. He says, nothing left, all eaten up. Well, why have you got the menu there? Why have you got the Bible there? Why have you got the exceeding great and precious promises there? Why do we sing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be? Why do we sing, he is a mighty conqueror, if I don't let him conquer in me, and for me, and by me? Why does he say, I'm the resurrection and the life, when I keep lying in the grave like Lazarus? And why does he say, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, or he is a great baptizer, and I can go year after year without getting the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Well, nobody told me that that was possible. I remember as a boy reading the testimony of a saint, and he told how God talked to him, how he walked with the Lord. And I remember well how I looked at that tract, and I said, my, is such a thing possible? Listen, I would have crawled for many miles on my hands and knees if I knew a place where I could find God like that. I would have. As a child, my soul was not satisfied with dried beans. I wanted the full course meal. I wanted the fullness of God. I wanted to experience Jesus and the power of his resurrection. But after a while, I found out that you've got to work for it. That's the whole gist. That's the whole business. And I tell you how I woke up. I told you many times, but a book came into my hand. It belonged to my sister, my oldest sister, Aunt Wally's mother. Her name was in the first leaf. And it was lying around and kicked around in the house, I don't know how long. And one day I didn't have anything to do, so I opened that book. It was the history of the early church. And I tell you, that opened my heart. I saw that there were people that believed that Jesus meant exactly what he said. They took him at his word. And when God says, repent, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, they would pray all night, night after night, and day after day, and they would just go after God. Well, isn't that what the disciples did in Jerusalem? Jesus said, don't you move out of Jerusalem. You don't have to. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, they were going to get something they didn't have. And they couldn't make themselves. Something was going to come down right out of heaven. Hallelujah. That reminds me of a woman in California. And we had a cottage meeting in one place, and a woman had come down from Texas, and she said she had been seeking the baptism for 30 years and didn't get it. And Dr. Gray, who I was with, was very wise. He has a sweet tooth. And you know what he did? He announced publicly that Brother Waldfogel likes strawberry pie.
The fact was, he liked it. And since I was at his home, why, he knew that if I got strawberry pie, he would get it. And he never ate it without pouring cream over it, or half and half. But anyway, this woman brought the strawberry pie. One night we were on the way to church and she stopped the car. And she said, "I baked the strawberry pie for you, Brother Walpole. Will you pray that I get the baptism?"
Trying to bribe the Lord. I don't remember whether I had a taste of that strawberry pie or not. I can't say that. But that night, that woman got the baptism. She had been seeking a long time, but she didn't know how to lay hold. And what a history. What a wonderful experience it was. She kept licking her lips. She must have had strawberry pie or something better. Oh, she said. She kept praising the Lord. Next day she came to meeting and she was still licking her lips. And she says, "Oh, the heavenly feeling." Heavenly feeling. She said, "I was afraid I'd lose it overnight, but she still had that heavenly feeling." Listen, if you will work for it, and that's the thing I learned out of that book. And I went to work. There was no human being helping me. I didn't see anybody that lived like that. I just got it out of the book. But I went to work. When I came home from work, I'd go to my prayer closet and I'd spend my time in prayer until it was time for supper. I wanted God. When you want God, you will find God. You will. "They that seek me early shall find me." That's the wonderful thing. Not a feeling,
but me. God Almighty is waiting.
Oh, he is waiting. Beloved, that's the glorious gospel of Christ, of the Son of God. It's a light that shines in a dark place. And God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's got to get into your heart, on the inside of you. And when you meet God, and anybody here can if he wants to, if God offered you something, and I see sometimes at the breakfast table, now for $5 tops and a quarter or seven quarters, and if those women don't get these box tops and they'll go to the grocery store and they'll buy an extra box of Wheaties or an extra box of fluffed wheat or whatever it is. They work for it. Everybody's working for something. But oh, when you seek God, when you hunger for him, thank God, that's where testimonies come from. You've gotten something that nobody in the world can get. Nobody. All the box tops in the world won't give them one iota of the blessing that you have when God comes to you. When God himself takes notice of you wanting him. And if you are a beggar upon the dung heap, he'll come to you. He'll forsake the royal palaces and the universities of learning, Harvard and Yale and whatever their name is. And he'll stoop to that poor beggar on the dunghill, and he'll lift him and set him among princes, and he'll stop making worlds like Billy Sunday said. "I found a man after my own heart, a man that cares enough for righteousness to work for it. A man that cares enough for me, the bleeding Lamb of God, to repent of his sins and to turn to me. A boy or a girl that cares enough to be filled with the Holy Ghost, who will pay the price." Glory to God. There weren't many in Old Testament times, but there were some, thank God. What outstanding characters are they? What an outstanding character was Abel, who offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
What an outstanding character was Enoch, who walked with God and who was translated.
Listen, what an outstanding character was Joseph. Fine looking chap. Who in the hour of the fierce temptation said, "How shall I commit this great evil and sin against God?" I tell you, God took notice of him. What a character was Moses, who, when he was come to years, some of you are come to years, aren't you? And you sort of turn up your nose and you say, "Well, I don't have to listen to my preacher anymore. I don't have to bother about going to Sunday school. I don't have to listen to my father and mother anymore. I can do as I please." I've heard saints say that. "I'm of years now. I can do as I please." Sure you can. Sure, you can go to the devil. And lots of people choose to go to the devil. But there are some that choose glory. They choose purity of heart. They choose righteousness. They choose Jesus Christ. Oh, Son of God. Son of God.
Why don't we have living testimonies? Why don't we have the Holy Ghost feeding us out of that wonderful garden of God, from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God?
He will if you work for it.
Anybody, no matter what you are, no matter how weak you are, your very weakness will be a cause for God. He says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness," if you will work for it.
Are you working for it? I'd like to ask that question. Who is working for it? It's work, because the flesh doesn't like that kind of work. It doesn't.
Unless the Holy Ghost helps you. Our infirmity, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps our infirmity.
You got to stick to it. And do you know there are not many people that stick to it? Now, I have been, as I said, I've been in faith homes where people had opportunities that were sublime, that were out of this world. They despised. Like Esau, they sold their inheritance for a morsel of meat. They did. It's because they don't get the strength of Jehovah. They don't work for it. They that wait upon the Lord. How much time do you spend waiting upon the Lord? Alone with God. Alone with God. Tell me, are you working for it? You will get something, I tell you, that nobody else has. David says, "I am wiser than all my teachers because I keep thy law. I meditate therein day and night." He says, 7 times a day I will praise thee. And I don't know how many times a night he says, "I rise up to speak to thee." If you work for it, oh, I tell you, my Father, if I could succeed in committing this life to a dozen young people in this place, then I can go. Then I can be dismissed. I can retire or be pensioned or something. I can say, "Father, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do." But if I don't, then I failed in my ministry. I could entertain people. The Lord indicated to me that I could be much more popular as an evangelist. Oh, yes, it's easy to be popular. You hear about the man who wanted to be popular, and he brought around the donkey, and nobody paid any attention to it. They've seen those too often. But he was wise. He took a pail of green paint and he gave that donkey a coat of paint. Everybody ran together. Men and women, the women left their washing and the men left their farm work. And the children came out of school and the very teacher came. A green donkey. My, what a revival he had.
And here is the evangelist with the stained breath. Sure, you can be popular. But listen, if you live a life with God, alone with God, is there anybody here who does not
who can go through the day without spending an honest-to-goodness hour alone with God. Listen, how do you do? How do you get along? Unless you get strength from heaven. He says, the youth faints and are weary. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. I look through these pictures when we all had our hair and our teeth, you know, 30 years ago. Very interesting pictures. But something made my heart sad when I saw the pictures of those that once lived in the glory of God and today they're nowhere. They didn't fight the fight. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Beloved, you gotta work. And there is nothing in the world that will pay such high dividends, nothing, as working with God, because He worketh in you. Oh, my Father, tonight the glory of the Lord fills this place like it did 33 years ago. But where's the harvest? Where are the transformed lives? Well, they're here, thank God. They are. But tell me, where would we be if we had really always done our best? When Sister Schweiger died, Brother Brown asked me to speak over her casket. And I said, that woman doesn't regret one moment she spent in prayer. She prayed all the time. And I think it was he, in his Irish brogue, said, oh, man. She didn't. But I wonder what our regret will be when we get to glory and when we behold the dazzling glory and we'll find the harvest of the things that we have sown upon this earth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, we shouldn't talk much about reaping now. You can determine your harvest by sowing unto the Spirit now. Make first things first. Businessmen, they've said to me, I can't. I've got to tend to business. Let's worry. What is your business if it isn't to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? You have no business anywhere else. That's your business. And if you'll attend to that business which is your business, God will attend to your business. Yes, sir, I tell you, He will, praise the Lord, and 1,000 businessmen have found it out, have discovered that it's better when God takes over. Hallelujah. The same thing is true in the ministry or Sunday school teaching or the whole life of a Christian. You gotta work for it. I see the young people sitting back there. Now that's the Academy of Young Saints. Growing Saints. They used to sit up in front, but I guess it gets too hot or maybe it gets too cold for them. I don't know. I don't know, but listen, young people. Listen, young people. You're working either for God or for the devil, one or the other. You're sowing either unto the Spirit or unto the flesh. And the day will come when you shall reap either corruption or eternal life. Oh God, what a gracious, what a holy invitation. Come, everything's ready. All is ready, a king made a banquet, made a marriage supper for his son, and he called them that were bidden to the marriage to come. But they all had excuses to make. No, Father. Father, I can't afford to make an excuse. The best part of my day must be spent serving Thee, seeking Thee, finding contact with God, Let everything go to the dogs if it will. But this one thing I cannot afford to neglect. My soul's salvation and the call of my God. And dear Father, I can't afford to waste my youthful life. What I'm sowing in my youth, I'm going to reap later on. And I'm certainly not going to be a fool. But I'm going to be wise, redeeming the time, redeeming my strength. Oh God, you've given me youthful vigor. What a blessing. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. What an asset to put that on the bank of heaven. This wonderful talent that God's given me. Don't let me wait until I get old and flabby and fat and lazy. But let me turn this youthful vigor into redeeming the best. I recently saw that legend again of the Arabs, only it was told differently, so I guess people say that every time I tell a story it sounds better than before. Here the god took a fancy to a beautiful young lady, and or was it fairies, I don't know, it don't make any difference. They took her to a field full of wonderful ears of corn. And they said, now, child, you're permitted to pass through this cornfield once. You cannot take one step backward. And you're allowed to pick the largest, richest ear of corn. And in proportion to its size, it's going to turn into diamonds and jewelry, ornaments. So when she saw those beautiful ears, she'd never seen any like it. She was tempted to pick one, but she thought, no, maybe I'll find a bigger one. So she took another step. Oh, but in this man, she decided, maybe I'll find a bigger one. This one looks smaller, so she wouldn't take that. But they were getting smaller all the time. And she didn't dare pick any because she thought, well, maybe. Oh, you know this simile. You know what that means. Today, if you will hear his voice. And finally, she had to take a consumptive ear. That was all that was left. She was not allowed to turn back. Just a meager, consumptive, eaten up, dried up ear. And she had a few rhinestones then to put around her neck. But she could have had a whole outfit if she had been wise. Oh, beloved, you got to work for it. Do you know that? You have to work for it. Like Paderewski, when he was 80 years old, the best pianist in the world, he still practiced 8 hours a day. And he didn't take fancy music, just do re mi fa sol la ti do and down, and up and down, and up and down, and up to keep his fingers nimble, you know. Every one of those fingers was insured for perhaps $50,000 or more, maybe more. And he said, the minute I find out that my playing does not improve, I'll stop playing for public. My, that would be a good rule for preachers to follow. I'm going to sit down.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear.